Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Polomsky. And we are starting today with August. And the notes from the author are, mulch is important to southern gardens and landscapes as sausage gravy is to biscuits or as cornbread is to pinto beans. Mulch not only makes our plantings pop, but it's the right thing to do, especially this month. A shallow layer of organic mulch conserves moisture. It also suppresses weeds and supplies nutrients as it decomposes. Which mulch is best? Anything that looks good and is affordable. During my travels throughout the South, I've seen a wide variety of mulches. They include newspapers, old carpeting, salt hay, cocoa and peanut hulls, and eucalyptus chips. In my opinion, mulch is a lot like barbecue sauces. There are regional differences. For example, pine straw is commonplace from the Central Carolinas to the coast. Along the coast, besides pine straw, you'll find seashells, white marble chips, and pea gravel. In the Piedmont, shredded hard and softwood mulches are commonplace. Colored woody or rubber mulches are in vogue right now. Tired of earth tones, then consider mulches made of recycled tires in bright blue or real teal. Whatever mulch you use, apply it properly. Mulch annuals and perennials with a 1 to 2 inch thick layer. Shrubs and trees can be mulched with 2 to 4 inches of mulch. Avoid the temptation to create a root suffocating mulch volcano. That's 2 to 3 feet high with sloped sides. Volcano mulching can kill trees. The bark of shrubs and trees need to breathe, and it needs to be dry. Keep the mulch at least a hand's width away from the trunks of the shrubs and trees. Also, keeping the trunk free of mulch discourages bark-feeding voles that like to be hidden from predators. Mulch as large an area as possible, at least up to the outermost branches or drip lines of trees. To avoid slalom mowing in and around individual tree plantings, unite them with a single bed of mulch. This month, toss some mulch around. If you're feeling really adventurous, toss out a Caribbean blue-colored mulch with a sprinkling of last summer's seashells on top. Guarantee your neighbors will know that you mulched your landscape. Plans. Okay, that's the first topic, is plan. For annuals, the heat and humidity of August can be a time to reflect on the past season and update your garden journal. Over a glass of iced tea, jot down the names of annuals that didn't perform as well as you would like. List any that performed better than you expected, and make a note of any insect or disease problems. As you collect your thoughts, begin making plans for next year. Avoid varieties that didn't do well. Focus on varieties that performed well in your garden or that you've noticed in display gardens. For bulbs, as your summer bulbs approach the end of their season and the fall flowering bulbs start theirs, lift and divide the overcrowded, poorly flowering clumps of bulbs and corms. Periodic dividing will improve their performance as well as give you a lot of extra plants. The best time to divide most summer flowering bulbs is at the beginning of their dormant period, when the leaves start to turn brown and die. Bulbs such as magic lilies, ornamental onions, and spider lilies produce daughter bulbs or offsets, which are attached to the basal plate where the roots emerge. After lifting the bulbs or corms, detach the offsets carefully, replant hardy bulbs, and store tender ones. Tiny corms, called cormels, can be planted right after you lift your gladioli or crocus mias. Tender corms can be stored indoors along with their offspring. When you lift and divide lily clumps, be careful not to bruise or break the fragile scales. Plant them immediately. Bulbils, tiny bulbs in the leaf axils, the nook where the leaf joins the stem, can also be planted or potted up and overwintered in a cold frame outdoors. For edibles, as you update your garden journal, note the vegetables and herbs that didn't live up to expectations and those that exceeded them. Make a note of insect and disease problems. In your plans for next year's garden, focus on varieties that performed well for you or that you have noticed did well in other gardens. Consider heirloom vegetables. They are prized for flavor and tenderness and are saved year after year for generations. Select heirloom vegetables adapted to your area's soil, climate, and pests. Beans and tomatoes are popular heirloom vegetables partly because they are easily maintained true to type. Their seed produces fairly similar plants from one generation to the next. Heirlooms often have unique names like mortgage lifter, tomato, and turkey gizzard bean. And for lawns, even the most shade-tolerant grasses need at least 4 hours of sunlight. If enough sunlight is available, consider shade-tolerant grasses. For cool-season grasses, fine fescue are most tolerant, followed by varieties of Kentucky bluegrass, Georgetown and Glade, and tall fescue, Trident, Aventure, and Apache. For warm season grasses, St. Augustine's grass is the most shade tolerant, followed by zoysia grass, centipede grass, and carpet grass. Bermuda grass is the least tolerant. Mow grasses in the shade about 1/2 to 1 inch higher than normal. The shaded grass needs as much leaf surface area as possible to take advantage of available light. Fertilize grasses growing in shade with only 1/2 to 1/3 as much nitrogen as grasses growing in sun. Grasses in shady spots should be watered when they show signs of drought stress. Perennials and ornamental grasses. This is a good month to make plans for improvements this fall and next year. What were the most troublesome insects and diseases this season? Perhaps you need to make plans to dig out some perennials and replace them this fall. Think about the perennials that seem to take a licking and keep on ticking. Take notes about perennials that looked attractive while requiring little attention. Did any of the perennials tolerate droughty conditions better than others? Roses. The cool early mornings and evenings during the dog days of August are a fitting time to plan on renovating beds and preparing new ones. Plan, don't plant. Unless you're in the mountains and the daytime temperatures are inviting enough to work the beds. In the Piedmont, clay soils, which may require a pickaxe this month, wait until next month or October before getting to work. If your roses are planted in low spots and aren't thriving, now is the time to consider moving them in the next few months when they're dormant, building raised beds, or installing drainage tiles to carry away excess water. Determine the roses that will have to be moved in the next couple of months. Mark the ones to be transplanted with colorful tape. For shrubs, take advantage of the cool temperatures inside to catch up on writing in your garden journal and reading about shrubs. If you haven't kept up with regular entries, plan sometime this month to sit down and record your observations on the performance of your plants, any pest problems, control measures, and thoughts about what should be done as summer closes and gives way to fall. Note any plants that need to be transplanted or given away. And for trees, starting planning for fall planting. Keep in mind the water-wise principle, appropriate use of plant materials. Choose your plants thoughtfully and plant them in an environment that matches the plant's native habitat. There are plants that are highly adaptable and will perform well in a variety of situations. For example, river birch and bald cypress are native to low, wet areas, but they can be grown successfully on high ground. Coastal residents will have a challenging time finding appropriate plants that will tolerate salt-laden ocean breezes near the beach. The challenge is especially great on the barrier island beaches, where plants have to contend with poor sandy soils that have little ability to retain water or nutrients. A good solution is to rely on native plants. Examine the local habitat to see which indigenous plants can be used in the landscape. Native coastal plants not only perform better than most exotics, but also keep the garden in harmony with its surroundings. However, not all of a coastal garden's plants have to be native. Hardy exotic plants can set the stage for the less conspicuous natives. For vines and ground covers, summer takes its toll on plants. High nighttime heat and humidity, pests and storms with high winds are a few natural problems faced by Carolina gardeners. Because the cool temperatures of fall are ideal for planting new vines and ground covers or transplanting established plants, spend some time in the early morning or late afternoon evaluating your landscape. Make plans to replace your annual flowering vines with something more vigorous or tolerant of the summertime conditions. If you've tired of pruning a highly vigorous specimen, make plans to remove it this fall, giving it to a friend who's willing to take it on. For ground cover plantings that haven't filled out very much, determine why they didn't and make plans to fertilize them beginning this fall and continuing until they're dormant. Keep them well watered and mulched during their establishment period. Take along your gardening journal and jot down notes for things to do next month. Water gardening. In the hotter areas of the Carolinas, shade is a welcome respite from the blazing sun, and there are some water lilies that will perform well with as little as 3 hours of sunlight. To decorate your shady water garden, use traditional shade-loving plants like hostas, estabels, and ferns, which will also benefit from the moist soil at the garden's edge. The following plants perform best with 6 hours of sun, but they will flower and grow with a little as 3 or 4 hours of sun each day. Hardy water lilies, Charlene Strawn, James Bryden, and Virginia. typical water lilies is Albert Greenberg, Director George T. Moore, and Panama Pacific. Marginal plants, elephant's ears, cordgrass, papyrus, and taro. And our next topic is planting. For annuals, do you have any leftover seeds? Make a final planting of marigolds, zinnias, and other fast-growing annuals. Do this during the first week of August in the Piedmont and early next month in the coastal plains. Sow seeds of cool season annuals that will be transplanted to the garden this fall. Plant calendula, snapdragons, and stalk from seed by sowing in sterile soilless mix in individual pots and transplant seedlings to individual containers before they become too crowded. Water is needed. Give them plenty of sun and fertilize weekly with a liquid fertilizer. The seeds of cabbage and kale should be sown about 8 weeks before the first freeze. Keep them cool after they sprout and move them outside when night temperatures begin to cool down in early fall. Take cuttings of favorite annuals or sow seeds in pots for winter flowering indoors. For bulbs, plant or move summer flowering bulbs that have already bloomed, such as amaryllis, crocus mia, iris, and lily. Divide bearded irises so the plants will have plenty of time to become established before cooler weather arrives. Gardeners in the warmer parts of the Carolinas can wait until September, which will allow the divisions to settle in after the heat of summer has passed. For edibles, set out cloves of garlic for a harvest early next summer. In the Piedmont and coastal plain, sow beans, beets, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, broccoli, cauliflower, lettuce, and rutabaga and squash. Plant greens such as kale, mustard, and turnips in intervals now and next month to lengthen the harvest season. In the mountains, plant the last fall garden vegetables. For hardy crops like cabbage, cauliflower, and collards, count back from your average first frost date the number of days the particular variety requires to mature. Plant at the appropriate time. For half-hardy crops like beets and carrots, allow an additional week. Lettuce, radishes, beets, spinach, mustard, turnips, and peas can be started from seed. Set out transplants of kale, lettuce, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, and collards. And for lawns, avoid seeding or sprigging warm season grasses in late summer or early fall because they may be killed by cold weather. If you have to plant now, sod early this month to get the plants settled before they go dormant with the first frost. For perennials and ornamental grasses, any planting done now should be followed with regular watering, keeping the soil moist in order to speed up establishment. Mountain gardeners can divide or move perennials to other parts of the garden, paying attention to watering and mulching after planting. For roses, shrubs, and trees, potted roses, container-grown shrubs, and trees can be planted in the mountains. They ought to have plenty of time to get established before cold weather arrives. Pay attention to regular watering during the first few weeks after planting. Water is the most important soil amendment when establishing plants. Gardeners in the milder areas of the Carolinas can plant now or wait until cooler weather arrives. For vines and ground covers, Plant container-grown vines and ground covers. This is a very stressful time, however, and unless there is sufficient water available, you may want to wait until September or October when the temperatures are more favorable for planting. For water gardening, American lotus, commonly known as water chinquapin, is native to the eastern half of the United States. It is closely related to the water lily and produces a large round arrangement of floating leaves joined by stalks to a thick below-ground stem or rhizome. As a new growth emerges over the course of a season, aerial leaves shaped like shallow bowls are produced on stems that rise high above the pad, sometimes 5 feet or more. Magnificent flowers are borne high over the water on a thick stalk above the aerial leaves. The flowers may be white, pale yellow, pink, or deep rose, depending on the species, and range from 4 to 12 inches across. In the center of each flower is a yellow receptacle with tiny holes that looks like a shower head. This seed pod enlarges as it matures, changing to green and then to brown. By that point, the individual seeds are held loosely in depressions on the pod's face. Because of their decorative value, these seed pods are often dried, bronzed, or silvered, and used in floral arrangements. To root a seed, scarify or abrade the impervious seed coat with sandpaper or a file prior to sowing. Sow the seed in a mix of 2 parts heavy garden soil and 1 part coarse sand in a non-draining container. Plant the seed at a depth twice its diameter and fill the container with water so that the mix is submerged by 2 inches. Set the container in a window with a southern exposure where the air temperature is above 75 degrees Fahrenheit and the water temperature above 65 degrees. The seed should germinate in 2 to 3 weeks. When 3 leaves have appeared, the seedlings can be transplanted to larger pots filled with heavy garden soil. These pots can then be set in a larger container of water. Transplant again whenever a seedling has filled its pot. Allow the delicate root tips to protrude from the soil and make sure there is enough water to support the developing leaf pad. When water temperatures outside have reached at least 70 degrees Fahrenheit, young lotuses can be moved outdoors. Each plant should then be given a container at least 9 to 10 inches deep and 16 to 20 inches in diameter. Use 1/2 pound commercial aquatic plant fertilizer per bushel of soil. Add a 1-inch layer of pea gravel on the surface. Before submersing the container, water it thoroughly, then place it in the pool. The gravel layer should be 3 to 4 inches below the water surface. As growth continues, the lotus plants can be moved to deeper water, 6 to 12 inches below the water surface. Choose the site carefully. Lotus is a very invasive plant. In a few growing seasons, it can spread rapidly and overtake a shallow pond. Keep the surface of the pond covered so that 1/2 to 3/4 of its surface is covered with leaves. And for our next topic is care. First of annuals. Do not disturb the soil in your flower beds during hot, dry August days. Loosening the soil can damage surface roots and increase water loss from the soil. inspect the mulch in flower beds. If wind, rain, and natural decay have reduced its thickness to an inch or less, apply more mulch to raise the level to 2 to 3 inches, but only about 1/2 inch around the base of the plants. Use compost, pine straw, pine bark, or hardwood mulch. If the cutting garden looks bedraggled, clear out the annuals that have finished blooming or are overgrown. Many plants in the flower border will make excellent houseplants this winter. Early this month, pinch back fall-planted snapdragons to produce bushier plants. Deadhead any faded flowers or seed pods from snapdragons that survived the summer. This will encourage another round of flowers this fall. And for bulbs, the leaves of your summer flowering bulbs may look tattered and unattractive, but don't remove them until the foliage and shoots turn yellow. Cut them off a few inches above the ground. Remove spent flowers as they fade. When the weather is hot and the flowers are in the afternoon sun, blooms will not last very long. Cut the flowers and use them in arrangements. And for edibles, dry herbs, gather bundles of each type of herb and spread out cheesecloth or hang upside down in a warm, dark, dry place. Harvest garlic when the leaves turn yellow. Lift the entire plant and dry it in a well-ventilated covered space. Save some for replanting and eat the rest. To protect pumpkins from rot, slip a shingle under ripening fruit to lift them off the soil. Winter squash is ready to harvest when the rind is hard and cannot be punctured with your thumbnail. Pull out plants that have stopped producing, including bush beans, early cucumbers, and summer squash. High temperatures slow tomato production. There is nothing to do but wait for the weather to cool. Then they will start producing again. The same goes for bell peppers. Too much fertilizer can cause pepper blossoms to fall off. Peppers are moderate feeders, needing only a little fertilizer at planting and a light side dressing after the first fruits have set. And for lawns, continue to mow your lawn regularly, removing no more than 1/3 of the grass height at each mowing. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and we hope you'll join us again.